You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and with Kat Arney. We're asking you, what tree is helping doctors to treat cancers? Bernie's speculating it may be the beech tree. Not quite Bernie, but keep your speculations coming in. You can email chris@thenakedscientist.com or tweet @nakedscientists. Wind farms now, and driving through the countryside, you often see huge grids of wind turbines dotted across the fields. But does it actually matter how we lay them out? Christina Archer is from the University of Delaware, and she's been studying how air flows through wind farms in order to try and answer this question. Hello, Christina.
Hello.
First of all, what sorts of improvements could we make then by changing the way that we format where the windmills are in these aggregations of wind farms?
Well, my research found some staggering results, actually, if I can make this joke. You can actually improve the performance of a wind farm by 13 to 33% if you place your turbines in a staggered arrangement. And what I mean by that is it's easier to describe if you think about yourself at a movie theater. And you want to have, you know, a good vision of the screen. And of course, you don't want to have a person sitting right in front of you. And so the way turbines are often arranged are kind of like the seats in a theater. They're like aligned with one another, which is not very smart, because if you want to look at the screen, you will like the person in front of you to not be just exactly in front of you, but slightly staggered.
Why do you think that people chose to put them in the theater arrangement when they didn't really have to do that? Was that just our obsession with kind of order?
Maybe it is. If you have an event in your yard, say a wedding or something, you will see that the natural instinct of us humans is to make things lined up. It's just easier, you know, so it's very understandable.
But the numbers you're suggesting of between 13 and 30% improvement in the productivity of a wind farm, those are enormous numbers. So how did you do this and why did you begin looking at this?
First of all, the ultimate goal is to try to reduce the cost of wind energy. Wind energy is already relatively cheap compared to all the other renewable energy sources, possibly the cheapest. But the designs of turbines are already very good. The blades are optimized. The airfoils are great. They're even beautiful at this point. So there's not really that much you can do with the design of turbines to make them even more productive. They're already pretty much as efficient as it gets. And so if you want to reduce the cost of wind energy, you have to act on something else. And what I was interested in is, can we place them in such a way that the wakes that the turbines generate, and you can think of a wake as turbulent eddies, once that wake hits the next turbine, obviously it impacts its productivity. So you don't want these wakes to interfere too much with the turbines that are downstream.
So you're saying instead of the view in the cinema being occluded by the head of the person in front, you don't want dirty air, which is all messed up, full of turbulence, hitting the turbine behind.
Exactly.
You want to minimize that effect. So how did you actually do that? How did you try and work out what the effect was and how best to place them?
I used a very sophisticated simulator. This is a computer code that tries to resolve the equations of motion of the atmosphere. Very fancy terms to say I'm trying to basically predict what the wind will be in all the points, millions of them, in a wind farm. So you have to imagine like a cube that includes the entire farm, and I'm trying to predict exactly what the wind speed, what the temperature, what the pressure will be at all these million points. And I have to include, obviously, the presence of the turbines in this volume, the fact that they rotate, and the fact that the turbulence generated by a turbine can impact the following one.
You must have had a very powerful computer to do that.
Absolutely. Actually, it's not even powerful enough. I would like more power. If any of the listeners have some kind of a super-duper, even more powerful system, please let me know. Right now, I'm using a high-performance computer cluster with over 200 parallel processors, and it's still going to take me about 2 months per simulation. So
you're going to have to open a few wind farms to power that, aren't you? So before we finish, could you just tell us, how have you actually tested this and validated it? Do we know that this isn't just the product of some computer time, that it really applies to the real world?
Yes, we have data from existing wind farms, so I can definitely access those, and that's in my list of things to do. The tools I'm using right now, these simulators, are more useful when you're planning for a future farm. You don't have data because it's a prediction. And so I'm trying to tune my model so that it works very well with existing farms and so that I can use it now and simulate conditions in other locations for future times and so on.
So that we can build better wind farms and format them better in future. Christina, thank you very much. That's Christina Archer. She's from the University of Delaware, and she published that work in the journal Geophysical Research Letters just recently. There you go, Kat. Now you know where you've got to put your wind turbines when you open your own wind farm.
Exactly. I put them everywhere.